Trauma is like an earthquake, I think is the best picture that you can use to describe it. So if you can imagine beliefs as like a beautiful landscape that's lovely and unspoiled and great, and then an experience of trauma kind of rolls through that like an earthquake, and what's left behind is this great devastation, and nothing looks the way it looked before.
That's Karen O'Donnell, a researcher at Durham University. She's published work on post-traumatic stress disorder in the military, and I spoke to her about the relationship between trauma and belief. She was quick to tell me that trauma affects a far broader range of people than just veterans of war. It also includes survivors of sexual assault and abuse, for example. As a result, defining trauma is tricky. In its most basic sense, a traumatic experience causes rupture.
It ruptures identity, it ruptures sense of time, which is why you get loads of flashbacks, and it ruptures language and cognition. So you can't talk about the experience that you've had because it just doesn't make any sense to you. So really, when you think about trauma and belief, what trauma does is it just pulls belief apart completely.
Karen's research is mostly focused on Christianity, but she explained that trauma does not just shake religious beliefs. It fundamentally affects the way that people think about the world.
I would say that no matter what your belief system, so whether you would say I'm a Christian or whether you would just say I'm not really anything and perhaps I don't feel like I have a concrete belief system, actually trauma has the same impact. Obviously, if you're somebody that believes in an organized religion, then that impact is quite glaringly obvious. So, you know, you may once have believed that God was good, and you might find it very difficult to believe that given the experience that you've had. But you don't necessarily need to have an organised belief system in order to have your beliefs ripped apart.
In fact, having an organised belief system can in some cases be detrimental to recovery.
What kind of research into trauma, or certainly my research into trauma, suggests that a rigid set of doctrines actually can be really harmful. So if you're told always God works all things for the good of those that love him, and then you experience miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage, how can you believe that to be true? And certainly my experience of working with women with reproductive loss is that that's one of the things that they would say, well, what does that mean then about my own faith? Am I not a good person? Does God not want good things for me?
As well as studying this in her academic research, Karen has experienced trauma and wrestled with her own faith. She told me how her own experience of reproductive loss made it really difficult to believe in an all-loving God who has total control of her life. Like many of the people she's interviewed, she found that belief plays a crucial role in that all-important part of recovery, constructing a new way of seeing the world that makes sense of your trauma.
My research has demonstrated, and it really surprised me, that actually the way in which spirituality can help, or faith or belief can help in recovery, is actually to give people a really wide space in which to reconstruct a new way of thinking about their faith. So if you've experienced a trauma, you can't necessarily just go back and hold on to the things that you always believed to be true, because they've been proved not to be true, or at least they seem that way. And part of recovery from trauma, the most important part, is the construction of a narrative that actually makes sense of what you've experienced. That narrative has to be personal. It has to be written by the person that's experienced the trauma. It can't just be imposed by the official beliefs of a church. But the other part of that is that recovery is dependent on being part of a witnessing community who believes what you've said.
So it's easy to see how dogma can undermine someone's ability to recover. There needs to be room for doubt, for questioning and reconstructing your belief system. As Karen explained to me, this is a crucial part of the three stages of recovery.
The stages of trauma recovery, if you really want to simplify them, there are three elements. So firstly, you need to be safe. You need to not still be in the place of trauma happening to you. Secondly, you have to construct this narrative that makes sense of trauma. And then thirdly, is a reconnection with society. And that's kind of, I've said that like one, two, three, as if it's a linear process. In reality, it's like dot to dot, you know, you're going all around the houses, perhaps back to all of those, you know, three or four times in an hour, if not you know, over the course of your period of recovery. And realistically, people who've experienced PTSD will never fully recover, but they'll find ways of functioning in a new way, in a new belief system that allows them to move forward. But the PTSD will always be with them. It's not something that you can say, oh, one day I'm no longer suffering from trauma.
And the thing with trauma is, it's still a relatively new area of research. Karen's current research project involves drone pilots and their experience of PTSD.
So you would think that drone pilots would have no instance of PTSD. They don't experience any trauma. You know, they're piloting drones from the safety of somewhere in Bedfordshire. They're not out in Afghanistan with the risk of being killed. And yet drone pilots are something like 2/3 more likely to experience PTSD. I think it's something to do with a kind of context collapse that actually when you're out in the field, you're part of a community of a group of soldiers or a group of pilots who are all together and you've got a safe distance. Whereas if you're a drone pilot, you know, you can be blowing somebody up and then 30 minutes later, you can be walking through the door for dinner with your family. And there's something too close, I think, about those two worlds that doesn't give enough transition space to actually protect the body and the embodied experience there.
We'll have to wait and see to find out what Karen concludes when it comes to drone pilots' experience of trauma. What's clear from hers and others' research, though, is that the relationship between trauma and belief is complex. Trauma doesn't kill belief, or vice versa. But as with all our experiences, it shapes who we are and how we see the world.